In the name of God, who creates us, redeems us, and inspires us. Amen. So, hardy snow people of Winston-Salem, I am really glad to see you here this morning, and most of you have braved snow and ice to get here, and we greatly appreciate it. But I must say, this weather makes me wish that I was back in Florida, where I spent the week before last, where it was warm and sunny, and I was at a beautiful retreat center, and there was a lake, and there were herons all over the place. I was inside, however, to take a course. And the course was called The Appreciative Way, and it's sponsored by the Clergy Leadership Institute. Now, I did appreciate the weather already, but this is a unique way of looking at our lives and our ministries. And it begins by asking such questions as, who are you and what do you do? We are all here for a purpose. We are God's idea, and we have been given gifts that are part of the great mystery that life is. And questions continue, such as, beyond being with family, what do you love to do? The things we love to do are an expression of our core purpose in life, our own unique expressions of identity. The appreciative way is more than just thinking positively. It focuses on what is life-giving to people and then to the organizations to which they belong. When people share what's important to them, they can make connections and build community. When people have ideas, statements such as, we can't do that, are transformed into, what would you need in order for us to accomplish that? This kind of appreciative inquiry can create a climate for us to imagine possibilities and think outside the box. It also helps to develop skills to call others into more life-giving places, rather than shaming and blaming and trying to figure out what went wrong or what will go wrong. It also reminds me of that word namaste, which means basically this: the light in me has discovered the light in you so that we can shine together. For me, this is a great lens with which to view others and their many gifts and how we can work together. So we just heard a portion of the New Testament, and it's that wonderful section of St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth from chapter 12. For in the one spirit we were all baptized into one body. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. As it is, there are many members, yet one body. And St. Paul uses the wonderful images of the parts of the body and how they all work together, hands and eyes and ears and feet, to describe the body of Christ and how it should work together and for the good of all, and that each individual part is as important as the other. Each function is important and necessary, and no part has all the functions. So all are needed. I think St. Paul was way ahead of his time because he seems to me to be using the appreciative approach as well. He says the members of the body that seem weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for each other. And don't you just love what he says, like, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you? It's one of my favorites. In other words, all are valued in God's eyes. All are valued in the body of Christ. And let me put this passage in context within chapter 12 in the first letter to the Corinthians. The beginning of chapter 12, which is the first half, we didn't read today, and it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. St. Paul was traveling all over, preaching to different groups, and he wrote this letter in response when he found out about problems in the Corinthian church. The Corinthian Christians were fighting among themselves, and some had lorded it over others about their own gifts and dismissed others' gifts. The community became divided. So St. Paul talks about the variety of gifts being given by the Spirit for the good of all of them. And then today, we heard the second part of the chapter 12. St. Paul deals with the division that's happened in the community. All are valuable, all gifts are needed, and all need to stay connected. He basically says that we are all in this same boat together, and we have to live with each other, celebrating each other's joys and being with each other in times of sorrow. And then the very last verse of chapter 12 sets up, of course, the much beloved chapter 13, which is about faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love, when St. Paul says this, "And I will show you a still more excellent way. The way of love undergirds all of the gifts." And I think that what St. Paul says to the Corinthians in the first century speaks to us as well. We all have gifts to offer the world for its healing and reconciliation, and we are invited to discover those gifts in ourselves and in others because we are the ones that are Christ's hands and heart and feet in the world. Frederick Buechner once wrote that the place God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's hunger meet. So we're invited to be aware of our gifts, those that bring us joy, those things we love to do, which could also be gifts to be shared with others. When was the last time we really thought about our own gifts and what we do have to offer others? I think a lot of us think about what we can't do or can't do well or what we've messed up. And we think of things that others have done wrong too. St. Paul says, no, whatever your gift, even if it's small or you or others consider it unworthy, it's part of a larger picture of all gifts that all work together in God's kingdom. The thing about gifts is that they are both given and received. God gives us many gifts. We receive them, and then we give them to others. That's the way it's supposed to work. But some gifts are not received. Some gifts are hoarded. Some gifts are valued, and some are valued too highly. We know that we can trust the Spirit-given gifts because God is the one who activates them in each one of us, and the gifts have been given for the common good. St. Paul shows us our radical interdependence by using the body as a metaphor for the church, the body of Christ, and tells us that it requires a radical diversity of gifts, all of which are necessary in the kingdom of God. And it's clear that the differences in our gifts should not divide the community, but should unite it. Desmond Tutu said, "We are different precisely in order to realize our need for each other, and that God's dream for us is that we realize we are brothers and sisters in the family of God." Why is it so hard to see the gifts in others who are different from us? And why is it so hard to honor the gifts in ourselves and to share them? I think discernment of gifts is one of the hardest things to do. I have a trouble sometimes looking at all the things I do and the ones I do well and the ones that I think I don't. Discernment of anything is hard, whether it's a gift or not. And I found that God does not provide me with neon signs that say, go this way or do this. We have so many voices that pull us in different directions and away from each other. Individualism is rampant, It's all about me, the culture says. And the other thing about God and the Spirit is that there is God's time and there is our time, and they don't often match up. The other thing about gifts is that some of them are unexpected, and often we don't recognize them. Some things that we don't want to do turn out to be a gift in disguise. A bad situation has good come out of it. Facing a conflict with a friend turns into the gift of reconciliation. Facing a difficult illness connects you with others who can help you through it. A routine phone conversation leads to a profound insight. A light shines in the darkness and is not overcome. But here's the thing. We have this wonderful community of faith at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Winston-Salem to help us. We are invited to be ambassadors of the radical hospitality of God here in the community and beyond. We are invited to be the gifts of God for all the people of God. All of us come here for a blessing, in search of meaning for our lives, for a deeper relationship with God in Christ, and for opportunities to serve others. And we want our community of faith to love and accept us for who we are and for our gifts in a context of humility and compassion, love and mutuality. We want to belong to this body of Christ. Our baptism is one gift of belonging, but we are also called to participate in this body. What gifts are life giving to both you and to others? And to what ministries are you called? We are invited to follow the appreciative way of Jesus and St. Paul. They show us the path of love and acceptance, of forgiveness and grace. They show us the pattern of interweaving many gifts and many members, all in one body. They show us the often upside-down way in the kingdom where the first are last and the last are first, where weaker members are as indispensable as the stronger. So consider, what do you love to do? What are you called to do more of this week? And where are you invited to share your gifts with others? Because we who are many are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup. Amen.
Amen.